Gentlemen, a company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and now Facebook Live, thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We're live inside the Patron Platinum Club. Predators pregame in an hour. They take on the Winnipeg Jets tonight. 102.5 The Game's Preds Game Day broadcast is brought to you by Hermitage Design Center, the professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens, and baths on the web at GoHermitage.com. So there is one narrative. Now, I play into this a lot, but there is one narrative that Titan fans absolutely love to harp on, and that is the national media doesn't give us any respect. If you watch political commentary, and unfortunately, I watch a lot, if you watch political commentary, there is something about somebody going on TV and saying, the media says... And every time I see that, I'm like, aren't you
the media?
The media? Like, yeah. Aren't you? You know, the media won't tell you this, but on my media show broadcast around the country on every cable channel, here's the deal.
The media is just such a buzzword.
The media, they love it. They love it. But Titan fans for years have said the national media does not respect the Titans. Now, I will say this. I'm not sure how much the national media on a week-in, week-out basis watches the Titans. Now, they probably watch Red Zone, and they probably watch highlights, and they probably do what all of us have done with Cincinnati. You know how many games of Cincinnati I've watched this year?
Two.
Kansas City, and that was back and forth with the Titans game. Kansas City.
Jacksonville.
I didn't even really watch that one.
Oh, that was a gross game.
But I didn't really watch that one. The other one?
The Raiders.
The Raiders. Now, I'm going to watch some Cincinnati tonight to get more of a feel for them for tomorrow's show, but, I mean, seriously. It's just not, and I'm not saying that it's not worth my time, but I'm not a, you know, a Cincinnati commentator. They're the Bengals, and they play, they get the same announcers you get. They're on CBS just like you are. They get Andrew Catalan and James Lofton. They get Spiro Ditas and Tom McCarthy and Jay Feely. And they get, you know, if the Bengals are playing well, if they're playing well, they might get Greg Gumbel. Might. But like this year, when they got Tony Romo and Jim Nance for the Chiefs game, like that had to be a seminal moment in the history of the Queen City.
That's enough to throw a parade.
That's like, you know, breaking news, Jim Nance and Tony Romo enter Cincinnati for the first time in 43 years. So anywho, I digress. But a lot of Titans fans say that the national media does not respect the Titans. And I have been watching this week. And I have been seeing what they have said. And you may not like some of the more influential sports voices across the country, but it doesn't mean that they're not the most watched. So, for example, Colin Cowherd on Fox. You may not like Colin Cowherd. Floyd never liked Colin Cowherd, and he was friends with Colin Cowherd. But he just ranked the top teams in the NFL, the top eight teams, and he ranked the Titans fourth ahead of the Buffalo Bills. I'd say that's pretty good respect. Stephen A. Smith yesterday on First Take was talking about the Cincinnati Bengals and how good Joe Burrow was and who needs it more, Joe Burrow or some other quarterback, maybe Matthew Stafford, I can't remember. Listen to what Stephen A. Smith said about the Titans.
We talk about Tennessee. It's the number one seed for a reason. Vrabel can coach. He's a coach of the year.
Derrick Henry should be back.
Derrick Henry should be back.
Ding, ding, ding.
That's right. And so, oh, by the way, notice to everybody, we might have questions about Tannehill. But those questions are dissipating every time we watch A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
His brother special. Brother special, okay? We ain't even heard much about Julio Jones, who was out, then came back, got a touchdown, whatever. But A.J. Brown is that dude. And so when we look at it from that perspective, Tennessee is something to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
And Cincinnati is going to need to be every bit the offense we've seen them be over these last few weeks in order to win this damn game.
I mean, did you hear what Stephen A. said? First of all, I don't disagree with anything that Stephen A. Smith just said right there. And that's saying something because I don't know how much Stephen A. watches the Titans or football in general. Right? Like, Stephen A. is a basketball guy.
He is a basketball guy, yes. But
I think he watches.
Just from what he said there, I mean, he felt incredibly confident. And in my opinion, I think that was a pretty accurate summarization of what we've seen from the Titans the past
few years. Oh, my God. He said, look, hey, Mike Vrabel, coach of the year. And as much as we got questions about Tannehill, A.J. Brown is that dude. And what have we said all year? We've said it's about A.J. and Derrick Henry. And I like, so everybody wants to pump their chest, say the national media never respects the Titans. I think that's perfect respect. And then even Dominique Foxworth. Now, they put Dominique in a weird spot. What I've been doing for some of these national shows is I've been, like, fast-forwarding as I just, like, go through it because I DVR all of them. And just I like fast forward through, and at the bottom of the screen, it'll tell you what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's been all Cowboys all week.
I'm sure.
But the ratings, apparently, on these shows, Skip Bayless and Colin Cowherd did their highest ratings ever. First Take blew it through the roof the other day. So that's why they spend all their time talking about the Cowboys. But so I just keep waiting for the Titans. And they asked Dominique Foxworth a question about who was more likely to lose as the one seed, Green Bay or Tennessee? Now, I will ask you this question. Who is more likely to lose as the one seed, Green Bay or Tennessee?
Tennessee.
Okay. I would agree. Tennessee is more likely to lose than Green Bay. So Dominique Foxworth said the Titans. Then, 5 minutes later, they're talking about the Bengals, and Dominique Foxworth wants you to know that just because he said the Titans are more likely to lose to Green Bay doesn't mean he thinks the Titans are going to lose to Cincinnati. Here's what he said.
I mean, I got to thread a needle coming off of what I just said there. I think that they are the most likely team to be beaten, the Titans, that is. But I think they win this weekend because there's one true thing about football that I know to be true. You got to protect your quarterback.
This week, they think the Titans are better than Cincinnati. And they've said a lot of positive things about Cincinnati. So this is my question for Titan fans. Do you like that? Are you okay with that? How do you feel about that? Because for years and years, and I have totally backed it up. I have totally fed into it. I have totally watched these shows. I watched Lewis Riddick today get on TV and say nothing about the Titans that you couldn't have watched any other show and gone on there and said. But this year, it's different. Skip Bayless said on the Thursday night after they beat San Francisco, he was like, do not let that team get the one seed. Because if all roads go through Nashville and Derrick Henry comes back, watch out for Tennessee. So the most influential voices across the country are giving credit to the Titans. And I think there's probably a lot of Titan fans out there that don't like it. It's like it's almost comfortable for them to be like, oh yeah, the national media never gives the Titans their due. The national media always disrespects the Titans. Nobody ever believes in the Titans. And next week, if they have to play Buffalo or Kansas City, and I think they will be an underdog if they make it to next week. I think they'll be an underdog against either team.
I would agree.
But on TV, they're going to talk about, you know, if Tennessee's defense can step up and stop Patrick Mahomes, I think there's a chance, but I'll take Kansas City. And we will hear, you know, oh, I can't believe what Dan Orlovsky or Rex Ryan said about so-and-so. I think Titan fans will want the national media to get on TV and talk crap about the Titans.
See, I kind of think that, but I overall disagree because Titan fans say we love having a chip on our shoulder. We love being the underdog. This team performs best when they're the underdog. This team performs best when they're disrespected. So you would think, okay, when they're being shown adequate respect on from the national media, that they would say, oh, we don't like this. But I think deep down they really do like it.
You think
it.
They like it? You think they like
why
the attention?
Why would you not like hearing Stephen A. Smith, the most influential voice in sports, saying they're the number one seed for a reason when the entire discussion all week has been worst number one seed in history? I think Titans fans do like it. As much as they say they like being the underdog, having the chip on their shoulder, not getting enough respect, when you finally do get that respect, it's kind of nice.
They know, but sometimes people are like so rooted to feeling a certain way that it's like, I don't want you talking about us now. You didn't believe. You know what is crazy?
What?
I do think it would be in the best interest of the Titans for Saturday to have the national media saying things that you don't like.
I think so, too, because I always go back to Kevin Byard's statement after the Rams game.
What about your
power rankings now?
Yeah, like the shove it up your rear end kind of
yes.
thing. Yes. Yeah.
What about the defensive player of the week of the year now? They pay attention to it.
Of course they pay attention to it.
And they get fueled by it. But I think as Titans fans, they like it. Titans players might be a little bit different.
So I'm telling you, the national media is giving the Titans a lot of credit. And they are not there. I have not heard one dump on the Titans. Now, I say that, I don't feel like they've really dumped on anybody this week. And I think that's totally uncalled for because I think San Francisco deserves to be dumped on. I don't think San Francisco has a chance of beating Green Bay.
No.
And I have not heard anybody get up there and talk about how bad Jimmy stinks. And Jimmy stinks. But I'm just talking about the Titans. National media is giving the Titans their due. They like your coach. They like your star players. They like your defense. They like your team. They like you. The national media likes you. Now, do they like you as much as Buffalo? I don't know. But they're not comparing you to Buffalo right now. And they're not comparing you to Kansas City right now. So I'm just saying, which I think is a very interesting element going forward. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get your reaction on this. How do you feel about the fact that the national media seems to love the Titans? Plus, there is one key to the game. There will always be more. Everyone's going to have their keys. There's one key to the game. And I think the national media is pointing it in a direction that you'll like. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, right here, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Then we talk about Joe Burrow and all this and how the Titans are going to stop him. Can he pull off the upset this weekend?
I mean, he can, because when you have those explosive weapons, if it's not, you know, Higgins, if it's not Boyd, then you got Jamar Chase that's able to, you know, take the top off the defense. The problem is they've had trouble protecting him, being sacked over 53 times, and that's never great recipe. And when you throw the ball a lot, it could expose that defense. And you talk about on the defensive side, guys like Trey Henderson, you really don't want to be coming back, you know, off a concussion protocol with King Henry in the lineup.
There you go. That was Bart Scott. Again, the national media seems to be giving the Titans their due. That was Bart Scott this morning on ESPN basically saying, hey, can they protect Joe Burrow? I mean, I guess they can try to protect Joe Burrow, but we'll see. And what I just find to be so crazy about Saturday's game is that Cincinnati on offense, and you got to give Cincinnati their due. They've got three really good receivers. They've got a good running back. They've got a great quarterback and a solid tight end with a solid backup blocking tight end in Sample. Their line's terrible. I mean, their line is just horrendous. They gave up a league high in sacks, and it's worse than you think. And I'm looking at some of the names. Like Quentin Spain, he's on the offensive line. He was so bad when he was here, the Titans couldn't get rid of him fast enough. Like, they got rid of Quentin Spain, they got rid of Zach Klein, and it was like, oh, thank goodness gracious, we got rid of these guys. And they went out and got Roger Saffold and drafted Nate Davis. Could not get rid of those guys fast enough. And Spain's on their offensive line. The right tackle, Isaiah Prince. I don't know anything about him, but Trevor Maddich told me when he was on the show, Trevor said that basically Harold Landry should beat that guy on every play. So their line, 51 sacks. And here's another thing, and this is something that teams that invest in the offensive guru coach need to understand. When you go out and you get a guy who wants to throw the ball up and down the yard, one thing they are definitely going to do is send all five guys out of the backfield. They love a team like Cincinnati with their coach and their offensive players. They love the idea of, we've got our three receivers and all of them are running out into the pattern. We got our tight end, Uzama, he's going to run out into the pattern, and Joe Mixon's going to run out into the pattern. Well, if you do that, you got five guys. So I can always bring somebody else. And I can always bring one more than you can block because you've got the quarterback. So I can always bring an extra guy. I got four pass rushers and David Long if I'm the Titans. And that's before you get into guys like Naquan Jones that have played really well and T.R. Tart. Vrabel did not rule out today. And so this all comes down to, when you are a team that is built off of a pass rush, can you hit the quarterback? When Tom Brady had the best offense and the best team I've ever seen in the history of the NFL, they scored 14 points in the Super Bowl because Michael Strahan and Justin Tuck and O.C. Umanyora and Matias Kiwanuka all hit Brady the whole game. I asked you yesterday, can you name any of those defensive backs from those Giant teams? I can't.
Nope.
So I watch all these shows and they keep talking about, hey, pass rush. Can the pass rush of the Titans get home? I think that's the ball game. I think that is
the biggest key to this game.
I think that's the ball game. And I think even though Jamar Chase is a great player and is a bad boy and they can throw it up to him and he'll go up and get it and he'll fight with you for it and he'll, what that does is that allows Joe to get the ball out faster than it does, you know, allowing him to do something special. We've seen all these great quarterbacks over the last 20 years, whether it's Brett Favre or Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or even today, Patrick Mahomes. We've seen all these great quarterbacks. Saw Mahomes in the Super Bowl last year when Tampa Bay was all over him. We've seen Aaron Rodgers when he's pressured. We have seen a 15-1 Aaron Rodgers, home field advantage at Lambeau Field, just get absolutely dominated by the New York Giants pass rush. So this is the game. And this is why you pay the money to go get Bud Dupree. And this is why you pay the money for DeNico Autry. And this is why you use a high pick on Jeffrey Simmons. And this is why you use two picks, a second and a third, in order to get Harold Landry. Because it doesn't matter that you got Jack Rabbit, Jenkins, and Buster Screen. And I do not care. And maybe I will regret this. Maybe these will be words that I learned to regret. I do not care that the Titans will have a corner on a receiver that's not good enough to cover them. There is not a single corner on the Titans, and this includes Christian Fulton, that is good enough to cover the Bengals receivers.
I would 100% agree with that.
There's not a single corner. I don't care. Because the whole key is for Joe to want to throw the ball and not be able to throw it because he's got to get it off way sooner. And so it's like, I think Jamar Chase can get there, so let me throw it. And then you throw it, and it ends up in the hands of Kevin Byard.
And if you don't put that kind of pressure on Joe Burrow,
you lose.
Then you lose.
You lose. The secondary, there's no secondary in the NFL that can stop those receivers. None. And they are different. Like, he will just put it up. And you've got to make him regret doing that. But I looked up the Charger box score today. And again, I'm going to watch some of these games. Joe Burrow, I think, was sacked. He threw out two interceptions. I think he was sacked five times. Like, yeah. That's how you beat him. That's how you beat him. By the way, and I went over this yesterday when it came to Vrabel, because we were talking about, you know, the fact that when Vrabel plays great offenses, both as a player in New England and as the coach of the Titans, outside of Green Bay last year, that was the one where they went on the road to Green Bay and Green Bay just put it to them. Other than that, when they play like the high-powered superstar offenses, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, number one offense 2 years ago in the divisional round, 33 points on the season, held to 12 points. Brady and the Patriots at Nissan Stadium, averaging 27, fourth in the league in points, ended up winning the Super Bowl that year, held to 10 points. But even as a player, in 2003, the Patriots had the number one seed. And they got co-MVP Steve McNair and the Titans, fifth that year in points. They averaged 27 a game. They held them to 14 points, three sacks. Three sacks in that game. The next week, they hosted Indianapolis. Peyton Manning was the hottest name in the game. They had gone 2 weeks, that Indy team, the divisional round against Denver, and the wild card round against Denver, the divisional round against Kansas City. They didn't punt. They did not punt in the wild card game. They did not punt in the divisional round game.
That's insane.
They were held to 14 points. They averaged 28 a game. They were held to 14 points, and they sacked Manning four times. They intercepted Manning because that Vrabel knows the key on how to beat teams like that. He knows you got to get home. This year, they played Russell Wilson and the Seahawks in the second game of the year, and we all thought, oh, God, Russell's going to blow him up because the Titans looked inept on defense against Arizona in the first game. He had DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. We still thought this was the god-awful Titans defense from last year. Russell Wilson, three sacks. They got to him. They played New Orleans, four sacks. They played Buffalo, beat them, three sacks. They played Kansas City, held them to 3 points, four sacks. They played the Rams on Sunday Night Football, five sacks. To me, it's this simple. I mean, it is... That is the key to the game that everybody's talking about. Everybody should be talking about. Will the Titans pass rush get there against Cincinnati's awful offensive line? Naturally, I think they will, but that's the game. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Let's go to some of your phones, which are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do we have in there?
Rob texts into the text line and says, you said earlier that you think players listen to the national media, but do you think they, along with the coaches and GMs, listen to fans?
Yes, but maybe not in the way that you would expect. Like, it's not like they're going to the grocery store and it's like, hey, Ryan Tannehill, you stink, you know, or whatever. That's not how they're all on social media. They all have Instagram. They all have Twitter. And here's the other element that I've learned a lot in being in this. It's the wives. The coaches, it's the kids. The players, it's the wives. They hear everything. Bad news
travels
fast.
That would drive me crazy.
Bad news travels fast now. I mean, I've just learned. It's like people will say, you'll say these things behind a microphone, but you won't say it to somebody's face. Like, yes, I will not accost somebody out at Whole Foods and say, hey, you suck.
You might.
No, I will not. You don't like you don't go up to somebody like that.
I'm kidding.
But if somebody were to say something, like one time, I'll use an example. There was a player on the Predators, and we actually did shop at the same Whole Foods. And I'm not going up to him, telling him that he sucks or whatever, but one time he got really mad at me. And, you know, I don't know how he let it be known, but he let it be known that he was mad. And then my bosses, Porth, was like, hey, so-and-so's mad. I don't care. Give my phone number. I do not care. Because I feel like if you say it on the radio, you might as well say it to him. Because what you're really doing is you're really playing telephone. You know, where it's like, Jared Stillman said that you stink and that you don't deserve your contract and yellowpurplemonkeywaterrag.com. You know, and it's like, I didn't say that last part. I did say you stink, though. But that's part of the job. And I look at it like I got my job, they got their job. But the players know. The players know. And that's why when the Titans win a bunch, I mean, that's why the Predators lost to Buffalo after they beat Colorado, because everybody said how good they were, and they went out there and they didn't show up against the worst team, you know, that they played in the last month. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We are back to your phones. 615-737-1025 plus a fear of Titans fans might be working its way out. We do some investigating on that next. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 1025 The Game. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Right now, buy $100 and get $50 to the Woodhouse Spa Nashville. Save 75% off at the Nashville Armory, the Beanbag Coffee and Tea Shop, and Seafood Sensation. And you can get $50 free with a $100 purchase in downtown dollars. Check out all of Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. So we got some more info regarding Saturday's game. Do you think Titan fans are worried about a takeover of Bengal fans at Nissan Stadium on Saturday?
Yes, I do.
Did you get that vibe the other day when we talked about selling tickets? Because I was surprised at how many people it felt like were basically saying, you know, hey, look, you can do whatever you want with your tickets. Sell them to whoever you want to sell them. Sell them for how much ever you want to sell them. And yet there were still some fans that it felt like were upset about, hey, trying to make a buck when you won't support the team. But it was mainly people saying, hey, mind your business, sell them however you want to sell them.
The overwhelming vibe in the text line that day, which I kind of thought that it was going to be the opposite, that people would be like, no, keep your tickets, go to the game. How dare you give it to an opponent? But a lot of the people said, yeah, you know, like, do your own thing. Everyone's got bills. Pay them however you need to. But I've seen a bunch of articles coming out about how they're limiting the number of tickets that'll be transferred to Bengals fans, which I don't know how you can monitor that. But I saw so many Titans fans being like, yeah, stick it to them.
What did they say about limiting tickets?
Something about limiting ticket transfers to Cincinnati fans. And I can find the exact headline. But it was something along those lines. And a lot of Titans fans were very relieved that that would be the case.
You know, it's funny because in the past, So I just pulled up some article. Do some research on that.
Yeah.
But in the past, that had been something that, you know, the Predators had gotten criticized for heavily. And I was always on the Predator side. I was like, look, it ain't nationalpredators.org. It's a business. So you want to do what you want to do. So if the Titans want to do what they want to do, I just wonder if the same people who criticized the Predators all that time are now going to criticize the Titans, even though they've kind of sold out their entire radio station to cheerleading for the Titans. I wonder if they'll criticize the Titans the same way they criticize the Predators, or if they're too scared.
Go team go.
To do that.
The CBS Sports headline says Titans change ticket policy for playoff game in hopes of keeping Bengals fans mostly out of Nissan Stadium.
Okay, what is the ticket policy that's changed?
It says under the adjusted policy, tickets can't be transferred to anyone who purchases them until 24 hours before the game. And it says that Brooke Ellenberger, who is the team's vice president of ticketing, says we want Nissan Stadium to be two-tone blue. And so by limiting the transfer window, it also limits the number of visiting team fans that we'll have in the stadium.
Yeah, so basically, if you have Titans tickets, you can't send them to anybody until 24 hours before the game, which, by the way, honestly, is just a pain in the ass. Even for somebody like me.
That's a pain.
Like, with my friends, it's like, yeah, I got to give you your tickets tomorrow afternoon. It's all right. You know, like, whatever. Like, that's a pain in the ass. So they can do whatever they want. It's Titans.com. But again, whatever. That's really not that big of a deal. So Mo Egger is a radio host in Cincinnati, and he was on with Darren Donick and Chase today. And remember, because Fitz came on the show and was talking about, I know all these Bengal fans that are telling me they're going to go down to Nashville to go to the game. Apparently, Bengal fans may be having second thoughts, not about going down to Nashville, but about going to the game.
I was just talking with a coworker of mine who's going. He's going to be in Nashville. He doesn't have tickets to the game. I know a lot of people like that, right, who it's 3.5-4 hours away. It's an awesome town. It's, frankly, it's maybe going to be a tinge warmer in Nashville than it's going to be in Cincinnati on Saturday, and I think you have a lot of people who just want to be there for the atmosphere.
By the way, being there for the atmosphere and not going to the game, I've never understood that. Like, people will go.
I've done that a few times.
I think it's so stupid.
It's fun.
When I was in college, like, people went to New Orleans when Louisville was in the Final Four, and they didn't go to the game. They were like, yeah, I just want to go down to New Orleans. I'm like, that's so stupid. Like,
why? That's fun.
What's the point of going there if you're not going to the game?
Because you get to experience the atmosphere, but you don't dish out the money for tickets.
For a divisional round playoff game.
I've done that several times.
For a divisional round playoff game in the NFL playoffs. Well, it's not like the Super Bowl where, like, you get to go to Super Bowl Village, and then they've got, you know, like, the NFL experience.
I mean, I've gone for regular season college games. And it's fun. You get to experience pomp and circumstance. You can tailgate. You get to be a part of the game day experience, but you just don't actually buy tickets to the game. I mean, we've seen the ticket prices are through the roof. I don't know how many people have $500 just to dish out for a ticket in addition to traveling to Nashville. I mean, I highly recommend it. I think that you should welcome a little bit more fun into your life.
Okay. So I'm not going to say anything more because I'm sure people will be like, oh, Jared, he just sits there. He's just so elitist. He doesn't want to whatever. So I'm not going to try to push any buttons here. So that would make me think that a lot of people in Cincinnati got the appetite for going to the game, but then saw the calories and they were like, well, maybe that wouldn't be a good idea. So we'll just go down there like Caroline says, and we'll go for the atmosphere, but we won't actually go to the game, which I don't know.
What is so bad about that?
For all of you that are keeping score at home that care about the crowd at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, my gut would tell me that you all would be very happy about that. They come down to Nashville, they go to our bars and restaurants, they stay in our hotels, they spend their money, but they don't go into the stadium and they don't cheer against your team. I think that the fans would like that. Now, we've got some updated info from TickPick.
Good enunciation.
TickPick that has an updated, so this is what they told us the other day. They told us the other day that 33% of the purchases were coming from Tennessee, 11% from Ohio. Now, we were thinking, okay, that's 44 out of 100, so where's the other 66?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make any sense.
56, excuse me. We now have updated numbers from TickPick. 40% Tennessee, 19% Ohio, and so you would think, okay, like, that's higher than 11, but 19's at the end of the world, mm-hmm. But this is an important nugget that they threw in there. 8% from Kentucky. Have you ever been to Cincinnati before?
I have, yes.
Okay, so Cincinnati is basically in Kentucky.
Yes.
Like, the airport is in Kentucky. Like, it's in Kentucky. So what you've really got, 19 in Ohio, 8% in Kentucky, which is really 27% coming from the Ohio-Kentucky area.
But also,
the Cincinnati area.
Kentucky is also a border state of Tennessee.
That could throw a wrench to it, because if you live in Bowling Green, you're probably more likely to be a Titan fan than you are to be a Bengals fan. Mm-hmm. So I understand that. I just remember this, and I'd love to dig up the information, but you'd have to go back to find it. There were articles that were saying, like, 40% of the tickets being purchased before the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs were being purchased by people from Tennessee. And I thought, oh, my God, we might see a takeover at Arrowhead Stadium of Titan fans. I went to the AFC Championship game.
Not a takeover?
Not even close. And so I am convinced that the atmosphere on Saturday is still going to be a pro-Titans crowd. There will be Bengals fans there, but there will be everything fans to everything. If the Titans had to go on the road to Cincinnati for this game, there would be Titans fans. But I don't think that 27% of Ohio and Kentucky, I don't think that's a scary number.
That's a quarter of the
stadium. That should worry a Titan fan. And even then, like, a quarter of the stadium, yes. But you brought up the fact that Kentucky's a bordering state. And I just think that the playoffs are harder. I think if it's Buffalo, I talked to an executive at the Titans about this a couple of weeks ago. And I was like, I think that even if it's Kansas City or Buffalo in an AFC Championship game, I still think you're going to have a strong Titans crowd. And the reason you're going to have a strong Titans crowd is because there's not going to be enough time for Kansas City and Buffalo fans to plan massive trips to come down here. Plus, you know, like if it's $400 a night for a hotel downtown on a regular weekend, they've already jacked it up now. They'll lower it if the Titans lose before they will not have it raised for next weekend just in case. So it's going to be really expensive. I think you're looking at a very pro-Titan crowd. And as we talked about in the last segment, the big key to the game is, can the pass rush get there? And a pro-Titans crowd can greatly affect the reality of Joe Burrow having to use the silent count. And if Burrow has to use the silent count, then his worst offensive line in the NFL that allowed 51 sacks over the season has no advantage on knowing when the ball is going to be snapped. And that means that they and DeNico Autry and Jeffrey Simmons and Harold Landry and Bud Dupree are all getting off the ball at the same time. And if that happens, I think the Titans are going to be in the backfield. And we've seen how games snowball with like atmosphere and attitude, and all of a sudden the Titans get a couple of sacks and Derrick Henry scores a touchdown, and now all of a sudden the crowd, you know, the roof's about to blow off the stadium,
like the Buffalo game.
Exactly.
I mean, the atmosphere
avalanche.
Just built upon itself.
It was a total avalanche.
It was an avalanche.
It was a total avalanche. I just looking at these numbers and just how I feel, I can't tell you how many people have hit me up for tickets this week. I mean, they have hit me like, oh my god, you got tickets, can you do this, can you do that, can you whatever. I have to like come up with like clever ways of saying no.
Just say no. That's clever enough.
Just say I don't have tickets?
No.
So then how are they going to feel like if they see like pictures of me at the game?
Because those are your tickets.
Well, yeah, but, you know.
Say, I'm using my tickets.
You know what my favorite line is?
What?
And I use this line sometimes too, so I can't. I'm not looking for tickets for free, but just I was wondering
just
like if you
is
know
he getting
somebody
available?
If you know somebody that can just not at an outrageous price. It's like, dude, like, come on. I will say this, though. Chase, I got to give Chase credit. At the World Series, the tickets were just through the roof on the secondary market. And he went to Game 5 where they almost clinched. And he literally went to the box office and just bought them. And they had like, they're like, yeah, we have a couple pairs left.
Bold.
But he like went to the box office. Let's get your phone. 615-737-1025. Throw this onto the mix. Where do your phones next? Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 1025 The Game. Stillman & Company, we're live at Bridgestone Arena tonight. The Predators taking on the Winnipeg Jets. Preds Game Day broadcast brought to you by Hermitage Design Center, the professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens, and baths. On the web at GoHermitage.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So we got a bunch of Titans thoughts in here. We got a bunch of ticket thoughts in here about the game. I don't want to do any talk on tickets tomorrow.
I
feel
that's
like
fair.
I feel like I've said all I need to say. I think the crowd is going to be incredibly pro Titans on Saturday. I do think they can affect the game. I do think that like a Derrick Henry run, a big sack. Do you remember that old song by the Baha Men, Who Let the Dogs Out?
Of course I do.
So that song came out in like 1999 or 2000. And so when the Titans had that great pass rush back in the days of Javon Curse and Kevin Carter and Josh Evans and Jason Fisk, and I can go on and on and on, Albert Hainsworth, when they would get a sack, they would play Who Let the Dogs Out, and the place would just go nuts. And then after a while, a lot of the same things that they kept using over and over and over again at Nissan Stadium got old, because they used them for like 13, 15 years, where Judge Mills Lane, who you probably don't even know who that is.
I don't.
So Judge Mills Lane, he used to have a TV show as like a judge, like a TV judge. Mm-hmm. But he was also a boxing judge. And he reffed the infamous Holyfield-Tyson fight where he bit the guy's ear. And so he came to like a game the first season. And they like recorded a bunch of videos of Judge Mills Lane. And it was literally just him being like, defense! Let's get it on!
Oh,
and then all of a
no.
sudden they start playing like this like Titans defense thing, and like people start clapping or whatever and cheering. And at the end of a game, if it was one of the AFC then Central Division teams, so Cincinnati, there would be a video for this. And it would literally be like him going, 3, 2, 1, ding, 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 you're out of here, Cincinnati! And they used to play it whenever they'd beat a team like that. I'm thinking they need to bring the Baha Men, Who Let the Dogs Out. They need to bring that back Saturday, and they need to bring Judge Mills Lane back. He might be dead, honestly. I don't know. But they need
That'd
to bring
fun.
Him back Saturday, you know, to defense.
Ding, ding, ding.
Let's get it on.
Let's get ready to rumble.
They must have played that. I kid you not. They must have played that, honestly, like 15 times a game. We get the Judge Mills lane.
I like it.
But I digress. To your phone, 615-737-1025.
Michael from Missouri texts in about Todd Downing and says, Todd Downing isn't awesome, but he's better than the text line is giving him credit for. Sure, there are some bad calls, but that's part of the job. I don't think he's either won the Titans a game, maybe arguably the San Francisco game, but I'm not willing to go there. That was more AJ. He hasn't lost the Titans a game. He's not Arthur, but he's fine.
Okay, so how do we decide if a coordinator wins you a game? I saw Joe Rexroad.
Good play calling.
I saw Joe Rexroad write the Shane Bowen story in The Athletic. Mm-hmm. And I read it. And look, I was one saying fire him. And I thought, you go back to, they gave up 31 points against the Buffalo Bills. Early on in the season, you look at how the Titans defense was performing, and I have it here on one of these sheets. You look at how they were performing early in the season. 38 points in the first game, 30 points, 16 to an immobile Carson Wentz, 27 to the Jets, then all of a sudden, 31 to Buffalo. It's like they're giving up 30 points a game. And here comes Buffalo, Kansas City, Indy at full strength, and the Rams. And I thought that those four games were going to put Shane Bowen out of business. That I thought that was going to be it and that he was going to be fired. And I said that on the pregame show, and I told Mark Howard, I was like, at the end of these four games, you are going to want to fire Shane Bowen. And I'll be damned if they didn't go out there and light it up on defense and hold Patrick Mahomes and hold Kansas City to 3 points and totally spook the Rams at SoFi Stadium and everything else. So you got to tip your cap where you were saying they should fire the guy. Mm-hmm. But how much of that is Bowen? How much of that is the fact that they went out and bought him two pass rushers, like two legitimate dudes, as opposed to the dudes they gave him last year that were no good, that we told you on this show, don't do Clowney, don't do it. Joe Rexroad and Corey Curtis said, do it. We told you, don't do it. But the fact that they bought him two pass rushers, and then how much of it's Jim Schwartz? And I don't know.
And Mike Vrabel will never tell you.
He won't tell you. Schwartzy won't tell you. J-Rob won't tell you.
But you have to think that the off-season signings have a good bit to do with it.
But how much of it's Bowen?
That's true. I mean, we don't know.
I don't know.
They're all factors.
I know that the design for the play that won you the Texans game at the end, the pitch to Hilliard where they motioned AJ and everybody went with AJ and they pitched out to Hilliard and he got enough for the first down on review. That play that won you the game, I can promise you, that was a call by Todd Downing, and nobody gave him credit for it except for me. And I'm not saying I'm a big Downing supporter. I'm just saying you all hate Downing too much. It is not, back me up on this.
Hate toward Todd
Downing. It is not logical how much they don't like Todd Downing compared to how much they just write a blank check for everybody else.
Just based off of the vibe in the text line, yes, I would agree with you.
Time now for Predators Game Day, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Go. The Predators host the Winnipeg Jets tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Puck drop 7 o'clock pregame in less than 10 minutes. The Predators are 24-14-3. That's good for 51 points. The Winnipeg Jets are 17-12-6. That's good for 40 points. Boy, this used to be a war between the Predators and the Jets. Paul Maurice retired this year. He's gone. And obviously Peter Laviolette's gone. So two different bench bosses from the days of the Preds and the Jets. But the Predators have hit a rough patch lately. After their red-hot winning streak to start the year, the Predators have lost 4 in a row, 0-3-1 in their last four, looking to get right after losing to Vancouver on Tuesday night. John Hines on what has been plaguing them of late.
You know, there's some details in our game that, you don't want to have. I mean, we've given up some line rush against chances, numerous games here that we weren't giving up prior to that. That's attention to detail and structure and commitment to playing the right way in those areas of the game. We've given up line change, bad line changes where we've given up easy goals. One was tonight, one was in Boston. That's what it is. When your details slip like that and they're not where they need to be, then That's a big part of the game. I mean, a big part of our identity is how hard we compete and how hard we play. And, you know, that's a big component. If you don't have that, it doesn't give you a chance night in and night out, as we've seen when, whether it was a year ago or, you know, some games here where we've lost, if we're not at the competitive level, you don't give yourself a chance. But you can't just hang your hat on that. There has to be execution. There has to be attention to detail in your game. You can't beat yourself. And right now there's just a little bit of those combinations going on, and we've got to address them, which we will address them. And then collectively as a group, we've got to be better on Thursday. And I'm confident we will be.
You know, that kind of sounds to me like
what,
you know, the Titans end up beating the Rams, but then lose to the Texans.
Yes.
Lose to the Jets.
Uh-huh.
Lose to the Steelers.
Yep.
That's what it is.
Beat the
abs. You know, you get sloppy line changes. Your attention to detail's not great. That's what happens. They won all those games. I have long believed that my tone on the Predators, every time, whatever I say they're going to do, this is what parenting must be like. Every time I say what they're going to do, they do the opposite. So if I say they stink, they can't win any games, they're terrible, they're going to get swept by Chicago,
they go
out there and they beat Chicago. I go out there and I say something like, I believe in this team, like I did on Tuesday, and they will go out there and then they'll lose four in a row. They beat the Avalanche. I was like, this team is here to play. Then all of a sudden they've lost four in a row since I said that. So if they lose tonight, maybe I'll have to get on them again. Maybe it'll just become just straight up strict parenting. And then it'll be like, look, you guys, this is the only response you guys have. The Predators are currently in third place in the Central Division, 51 points. That is four behind the Colorado Avalanche, who also have four games in hand. They've got two. St. Louis has two games in hand, tied for 51, which is not good. Minnesota, 47, but they've got six games in hand. The Jets are in fifth with 40. And they've got six games in hand as well. Dallas has 38 points, Chicago 36, and Arizona has 24.
Oh, brutal.
So, unfortunately, you're going to have to hope that a lot of people lose these games in hand. And that looks like the trend they're going. After they take on Winnipeg tonight, they play Detroit here on Saturday, and then they go all the way out to Seattle and Edmonton, and then they play again Vancouver here, and then they've totally redone the schedule. That's it for us, though. Pre-game next. We'll see you tomorrow, too.